Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and that's my dog, Jack, if you hear him. And I'm joined by
Charles Jamont. I'm joined by Jack,
Andy
too.
Kay. James, tell us about Jack.
I want to be very clear with you. He has been silent like the entire, like from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I was sitting on the couch with him. Mm-hmm. He was laying against my lap while I was playing God of War. And then I put him in his pen to come do this and immediately started barking.
Yeah, we have it all as we were talking leading up to this. Oh, yeah. He wants to become part of the podcast. Well, what it's kind okay. of hot takes do you have, buddy?
I'm old and I forgot that puppies are a lot of effort.
How many walks does he go agreed. On a day?
Right. So we only started doing walks this week. I'm only doing one right now because I'm still getting him used to it. But whatchamacallit? We have good kick the ball sessions in the backyard to tire him out the rest of the day.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm wondering
how do you burn that puppy energy?
I mean, you know, you train him a lot. I gave him one of those treat dispensing balls today. He had a lot of fun with that.
Aw. Is it the kind like where it's like a puzzle? Or do you have the puzzle ones?
I have the puzzle ones. This is the one where they have to roll the ball around and then that dispenses the treat.
Do dogs have treats that get them high, like cats?
They do. A lot of places sell CBD dog treats now.
Oh, but isn't CBD the coward's weed?
Yeah, it is.
We're talking hard stuff. Like, what kind of hard stuff can a dog do?
People prescribe trazodone to dogs.
What is that?
Trazodone's like it's like a pretty strong like anti-anxiety, like it just sedates the shit out of you, like dogs like severe like thunder thunderstorm or like fireworks things. My dog growing up, Tyler, used to get trazodone during thunderstorms 4th of July because he just freaked out about them.
Okay. Well, I guess that can send them on a trip. I was just kind of curious, like, what's dog nip, right? Like, what's the equivalent there?
Human love, Andy. They're genetically bred to be our friends.
Is that what it is? Aw. That's what gets them to... Actually, I don't think I've actually ever seen a cat on catnip. But love is a drug, too.
I mean, Andy, there's a plethora of YouTube videos that could... show you what a cat on catnip looks like.
Oh, I mean, maybe I've seen it. I don't know. Maybe I don't pay attention. I just know it gets them high. But then I never thought about dogs until now. Maybe one day Jack will go on a trip. Or he already is because he's in love with you guys.
Yeah, he is getting to that point. I mean, this is separation anxiety to a certain extent because he was perfectly happy sitting in my lap. And now that he's in his puppy prison, he's very unhappy about it.
Aw.
Andy and Charles, banter for a second. I'm going to quiet him.
Charles, have you ever had a puppy, Charles?
No. I was strictly a aquarium kid.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I learned about carnivorous fish, by the way.
Wait, did you have a carnivorous fish?
Yeah. So this fish, well, okay. It wasn't, it's not carnivorous in the sense that it ate humans.
Thank God. Yeah.
It was a fish that ate other fish. And so, you know, there was a really big fish in my aquarium with a bunch of smaller ones. Mm-hmm. Did I remember the types of fish? No, because I'm a child.
Yeah.
And like I had like little shrimps and like some of the bottom feeder fish and all this stuff like that. And then suddenly I started noticing that fish were disappearing.
Oh my gosh.
Because one fish, that's it. I think we call them Sparky.
Okay.
I noticed that all the fish around Sparky were disappearing. And then finally, I got really mad and separated him away from the other fish.
Okay.
And then it probably died. And then I was so bitter about all that entire experience that I was like, no more pets.
You know, I get it. Wait, did you name the fish that were being eaten too?
No, because they were too small. And I was like, I'm going to wait till they get bigger.
Aw, so they have to reach a certain age until they earn a name?
Yeah, whatever. You know, it made sense to me. And then...
Yeah, they never made it.
They did not make it. And I was like, well, there goes that.
It's too bad.
I was all about it, too. I was like, I'm going to learn how to keep the right pH levels.
Oh, sure, yeah.
We're going to get more fish, and we're going to add this stuff to the aquarium, and then... Nope.
That feels slightly more humane than my fish story, which is that we killed somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 to 5 betta fish because we would just forget to feed them for weeks on end.
That's cruel.
Yeah.
Charles was at least a product of nature, the natural.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just let that fish starve to death. It's full. And then it died. And we're like, well, I guess we'll get another one.
Did you name yours that you killed?
I don't remember at this point, honestly.
This is an important question. It's either then you're neglectful or a monster, James.
I mean, to be fair, it was me and my father. So, it's okay. Not, you know, it's not just, you know, we kept the dog alive, right? To be fair. but yeah, I don't know. I just always forgot.
That's wild. Well,
Dogs can't let you forget, though, because they'll bark and pee everywhere.
That's true. I guess the fish just pee and bark into the water.
Dogs.
I just can't get over the smell of aquariums, you guys. I can't.
Charles, did you get far enough? No. Charles, did you get far enough in that you had to clean your aquarium?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you do the dangerous suck where you tried to get the vacuum going with your mouth to get all the water out?
I did that once.
Oh, really?
How did it go?
I got water in my mouth.
That's the dangerous game. It's got to be a long enough tube that you can.
Yep.
Oh, I'm getting sick thinking about this. I will never own fish. I don't think I'll ever own a pet. I was at work yesterday, and then they're like, Andy, do you want a puppy? And I said, absolutely not.
Andy, you
can't take on that responsibility.
I say this as your friend. Mm-hmm. You're not a dog guy.
I mean, I love the idea of a dog.
Yeah, no, but...
Listen, to have, you know, what a wonderful thing to have, you know, to have something that cares so deeply about you.
I think a cat would fit your lifestyle pretty well, Andy.
I'm also very allergic to cats.
Well, that's true. Get one of them hairless boys.
Yeah, those look gross.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to people that love them. I don't know how you find them cute, but I think it's wonderful that you do. Granted, I think long Furbies are cute, so I don't know. We each have our own preferences. Maybe I'll just get a long Furby.
Disgusting. Cool.
No! I'm not getting a puppy, though. They even offered me alcohol, and I was like, no. Not even that.
Alcohol isn't enough.
No, exactly. To take on the enormous response. And then, this was wild. And then one guy was like, I don't want a puppy. I had a monkey. And I was like, how did you have a monkey? And he was like, yeah, for 10 years, they had this like specific breed of monkey that just hung out in their house all the time. but not the kind that rips your face off. Because I asked, did it rip your face off? And he said, no. But it bit his wife. And so they got rid of the monkey. And now he lives in like some habitat and has like multiple wives and is basically living his best life. But why would you have a monkey for a pet?
Pray for Mojo.
Who's Mojo?
This is a Simpsons reference. Homer. God. Homer got a helper monkey.
Oh, really? I don't know. I guess there are. That just doesn't seem right. Having a monkey.
No, you're right, Andy. They should be working the coconut fields.
And he's like, I've got to get my coconut smoothie or whatever the hell they got from it.
Just... Yeah, I guess Thailand, I didn't know that, but Thailand has a big problem with monkey coconut farms. And it sounds like it's just a general big problem, at least in the cursory reading I was doing.
But I mean, it's no more cruel than anything else we do to other animals, but it's still not great. I'm going to tell you, when the closest I ever came to being a vegetarian was maybe about 6 months ago.
Whoa.
I was on Reddit and it was like 1 a.m. and they showed this video of a commercial farm. And it was a cow in a stall. And I was like, oh, that's not great. But, you know, I'm like, I understand. Scale. Mm-hmm. And then it zoomed out. And it zoomed out. Zoomed out. And it was like thousands of cows in those stalls. And I went, oh, fuck me.
Oh, no.
That was the day I started buying only pasture-raised eggs. Because I can't do this anymore.
I deliberately don't seek out that information because I enjoy meat. There is a very specific term for that type of ignorance too. I wish I remembered it, but we're part of the problem.
Well, no, I mean, I'm fine with killing a cow to get its meat. I'm not fine with a cow living a hellscape life before it's slaughtered. If you look around, there usually are local butcher co-ops or things like that where you can buy a share of a cow that's raised a little more humanely. I've kind of switched that for the most part. I get every month or two I get a delivery. I don't eat that much meat these days anyway.
Well, that's pretty cool. I was thinking about finding like a local butcher to like make me feel like I'm doing something good or responsible. But now I've just been doing HelloFresh, which hopefully that meat is raised humanely.
Betcha it isn't.
Hey, I know they use monkeys, but to be fair, okay, I just want to call out quick, not that I'm going to simp for HelloFresh, but I guess it was PETA that called out that a supplier that HelloFresh was using coconuts, you know, harvested by monkeys. And so PETA puts out this huge press release and then doesn't tell HelloFresh that they're, you know, goofing up until this big press release telling them that they're monsters. And I was thinking about it. I was like, shouldn't you tell HelloFresh? Well, no, PETA has no obligation to do it.
PETA's also kind of a terrorist organization.
Yeah, they're a bit eccentric. But I mean, like, I should reframe it as, would HelloFresh have even known that? Like, let them know so they can stop. But like, what do they know? Because HelloFresh was like, we had in writing that they didn't use monkeys. But you know, what good does that do? I don't know, but it got me thinking about it. It's like, is HelloFresh the bad guy? Or are they the bad guy if they know and then they don't stop? Well, they're definitely a bad guy if they know and they don't stop.
Andy, capitalism is the bad guy.
That's true. That's true. I got to have a fun conversation with my mom about capitalism and basically like what happened with Twitter and Eli Lilly. And just like how everything's messed up. Everything's messed up. How the drive for profit can exploit something life-saving, and it's terrible. Capitalism is terrible, you guys. And who knows, maybe next week Twitter will be gone too.
Did you see one more thing and then we're gonna transition to news? This is kind of like deep things if you're not following world politics news, but
ooh.
Liz Truss was the former prime minister of the UK, and she had incredibly negative approval ratings.
Yeah.
And then some person did. Who will last longer, Liz Truss or this head of lettuce? And the head of lettuce won. She had to, like, she resigned from being prime minister and before the head of lettuce deteriorated. Someone is now doing head of lettuce versus Twitter. which will live longer.
Ooh, I like that. Why did everybody hate her? I never found out.
She has problematic views. Okay. Let's leave it at that.
Oh, I guess it's where she's going.
All right.
Although I don't think the UK is the most progressive. I know they hate trans people.
But you know who has problematic views? Everybody who votes for the Game Awards.
Oh, wait, what?
Absolutely true. That's it. Oh, Andy, you'll see.
What's that, Charles?
You'll see.
Oh, okay. Let's dig in then.
So the nominees for the Game Awards came out, and now it is time for us to see if we can pick who's going to win the categories.
I don't know why they organize this in the annoying way where they put the most important nominee in front.
We did this last year and we were very mad about it. There are, let's see, how many is there?
There's 32 or 33, 32. I think.
That sounds about right.
So there's 31. Let's hit the good ones.
I think we could knock out all the esports ones, right?
Yeah, I don't care about esports. Let's definitely do best family game because apparently it takes two. Yeah. One last year.
So
I'd love
to
see what adult focused games they have in this year's.
Yeah, we need to also clarify this too, for our listeners. Mm-hmm. The Game Awards recognizes that the traditional categories don't necessarily fit games very well, and they do try to have an explanation on like why certain games appear in other categories. It's still not perfect. It is weird. It Takes Two being in family game didn't make sense.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
but
you know that game where you make your daughter cry.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Where you struggle through a divorce.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm saying let's start at most anticipated game and then work our way up from there.
Oh, yep. What's best most anticipated then?
So most anticipated game, recognizing an announced game that has demonstrated illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. God damn it, Jack. your votes are Final Fantasy 16, Hogwarts Legacy, Resident Evil 4 Remake, Starfield, and Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, which is Breath of the Wild 2.
Oh, that. I don't even think this is a discussion. It's just going to be Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah, I don't know. That's it. You have to think about who has the bigger audience. And I don't know. That's it. I don't think it's Hogwarts Legacy. I don't think it's Resident Evil 4. And I don't think it's Final Fantasy 16, sadly. But I don't know. Some people like Starfield.
Does anyone? It's just Mass Effect.
I think Final Fantasy 16 has an outside shot.
I mean, yeah, it is non-zero the Final Fantasy 16, as long as the old ways are still true. And the all old the games. Yes, all the gamers recognize the importance of Final Fantasy. But you know what?
Be the new generation's Final Fantasy. All of the Zoomers that voted, thank you, by the way, Zoomers. Here is your Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that because that's the thing. It is true, but there's a non-zero audience of people that love Starfield.
No.
And we know a lot of people like that's true, and we know a lot of people like Legend of Zelda. Two of them are in this podcast.
I think only one, Charles. I was kind of nonplus about it.
Oh, really? That's it. I wouldn't know it on how strongly you tried to defend it last time.
Okay, shut up. Whatever.
It's okay. I'll just be here supporting the greatest gaming franchise of all time.
But also,
I'm going to say Final Fantasy for most of the
time. Really? I'm going for Legend of Zelda.
What about you, Charles?
I know what my heart wants. wait, are we going to do any like points to see who had predicted the most again?
Yeah. 1 point per prediction.
Okay. Legend of Zelda.
All right.
Disgust me for saying it.
And it just looks like more of the same.
Ugh. Nothing wrong with that, Andy. Oh
my gosh.
So it's going to get God of War an award. Best adaptation?
I have a very strong opinion on
actually
this.
Okay, so here we go. Best adaptation, recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adopts a video game to another entertainment medium. Ooh. Your nominees are Arcane, League of Legends, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, The Cuphead Show, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, and Uncharted, starring Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg.
I loved Sonic the Hedgehog 2. But I think it's going to be Arcane. I think Arcane's already been like nominated for like Emmys, I think.
Yeah.
Like, so it's probably going to be Arcane.
I'm going recency bias, baby. Edgerunners.
Yeah, there is a recency bias on Edgerunners. And there are people, even though they're wrong, saying that this helped them perform the redemption arc just like No Man's Sky. And they're wrong. But I've watched Arcane. I've watched Cyberpunk. Arcane has just done much better. Like, oh, let's say they did a true adaptation. Those are all characters from the game. Cyberpunk Edgerunners had to come up with new characters.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah. And then the game updated to add their stuff into the game because they weren't there originally.
Interesting.
And not to say that Cuphead Show is bad. I watched a couple episodes with my family. It was good. And Sonic the Hedgehog 2 is a good movie.
I liked it.
That's it. I've not watched Uncharted because I don't want to see my child this way. but
my baby boy, what have you done with him?
But Arcane. Arcane. Just cause I think it's
both of you for Arcane.
Yeah.
All right.
What do you got, James? Next?
Oh, I'm doing Edgerunners, baby. Oh, recency bias.
That's right.
Let's see.
Previous
debut
category.
Indie. What do we got? Yeah, we can do debut indie. Best debut indie for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. Your options are Neon White, Norco, which I'm just hearing for the first time ever today.
Never.
Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors. This is challenging.
Yeah, this one's hard. People have talked about Neon White, Stray, Tunic, and Vampire Survivors a lot.
Here's the thing. It should be Tunic or Vampire Survivors. Really? I think it's going... Yes, those are fantastic games. Fantastic games. Stray is a game where you play a cat. I think Stray will win.
Really?
Yes.
See, I was going to say Neon White.
Neon White's a great game, but it's I think it's too niche in its appeal. It's basically a speedrunning game.
Drop me down for Neon White. I want it to be Tunic. I think it's going to be Neon White.
Andy says Neon White. Charles, where are you?
I believe in the cat people.
Yeah. All right. Charles is going to go.
You think it would be Stray?
Yeah.
I'm going to.
Stray found its way into Game of the Year category,
yeah,
too.
We'll get there, which is shocking.
Oh, my God. That's right.
In my heart, I would say Vampire Survivor should win. But I'm going to vote for Tunic. Because I think more people have played Tunic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next, we have Content Creator of the Year. Do you guys care?
I don't care about that.
That's it. Yeah, this one's going to be interesting.
Who's in it? So Content Creator of the Year for a streamer, a content creator who has made an important and positive impact on the community in 2022. Your nominees are Carl Jacobs, Ludwig, Nebellion, Nobru, and Cutie Cinderella?
Yep, Cutie Cinderella.
Okay. Cutie Cinderella. Andy, here's the thing you may not know, which is Nebellion was basically a person who took game news and condensed it down to tweets like instantly. The second news came out, he condensed it down to bullet points and tweeted it. Oh. But he recently retired from doing that because Twitter's a fucking garbage pile, but also because he just wasn't making money. It wasn't worth the time and effort for him because it wasn't his full-time job. So I wonder, I don't know. Here's the thing. There is a chance he gets it, But that also is a very niche thing.
I want him to get it because he has a mob psycho.
Charles and I instantly are like, oh, Nebelian should get it. But how is it not going to be Carl Jacobs or Ludwig?
Yeah, that's
I've only heard of Ludwig.
Yeah, it's Ludwig. But
you're right.
But yeah, the interesting part, right, is Carl Jacobs is one of the most popular Minecraft streamers.
Yep.
Ludwig is a very popular Twitch streamer that became a YouTube streamer and organizes events for other streamers. Same thing for Cutie Cinderella, who is his girlfriend, who also does various similar stuff and is really good at it. Like she made the streamer awards for streamers.
Oh.
And yeah. And I don't know who Nobu is. I'm assuming he's a non-American streamer, and
yeah,
I'm sure they do very well because there's an entire world outside of North America.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I'm not hit to the kids, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, honestly, but Nebelian,
you want Nebelian to win. You want Nebelian.
Yeah,
it's a mountain, right?
Oh yeah. I have to put it to Carl Jacobs, sadly.
I'm going to go Carl Jacobs, too. What about you, Andy? I'm
doing Nebelian.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, like, this voting is only 25%. I'm sure, like, it's a small percentage from the judges' votes.
Andy, there's a good chance you get this one. I wouldn't mind. And Charles and I will be happy that you do. Best multiplayer. Oh, wow, it's not loading. There it goes. best multiplayer for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game, genre, or platform. Your nominees are Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Multiversus, Overwatch 2, Splatoon 3, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. So... we discussed this as friends, but I do have a shameful admission to make live on this podcast, which
is
despite my constant thing of not giving Activision money, I did buy Call of Duty.
I heard people were very thirsty for the Ghost Man. Did you fall for the thirst trap, James?
Who didn't love Ghost? I just watched a lot of it, and I'm like, this looks really fun. And I haven't won. And getting back into Rainbow Six Siege is just such a fucking monumental mountain to climb, because it's all map awareness for Rainbow Six. And it's like, if you're not constantly keeping up with everything, it's just you're out. This, I would say, Modern Warfare 2 is basically faster. This version of it is faster Rainbow Six Siege, and it's really fun.
Objective based?
No, but it's just like. The gun feel and the time to kill is a little, in previous Call of Duties, things were weird. This feels very physics based and right when you play it. It feels less of like an arcade shooter, if that makes any kind of sense. Sure. And I'm sure people are like, it's never an arcade shooter. Fuck you. Call of Duty was always an arcade shooter. But anyway, I don't know.
I say multiverses.
I say Splatoon 3.
Ooh.
I have a special point in my heart for that one night we finished Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, that was a good time.
That was a lot. Yeah. But, these established franchises.
People were all over Splatoon 3 when it came out.
Yeah, I agree. I think people do still play it. They just don't talk about it anymore. Splatoon 3.
All right.
Multiverses was such a darling, though, this year.
So Splatoon 3.
That's fair.
Next, we have Best Sports Racing. Probably skip that.
I don't care.
Best Sim Strategy Game. What do we got here?
I don't know anything about.
Oh, yeah, you do. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Do you guys have any opinions on any of these games? We could skip this one.
I just like Mario and Rapids.
Okay, we'll skip this one. Best Family. This will be a funny one.
Yeah.
Oh, best by the family. Way, James, you could click previous category and next category here.
I know, but I want to look at all the categories because it's faster.
Oh, ahead of time? Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yep. Best family for the best game of Herbie. Kirby. For family.
We don't have to
family play, irrespective of genre or platform. Your nominees are Kirby the Forgotten Land, Lego Star Wars the Skywalker Saga, Mario and Rabbit Sparks of Hope, Nintendo Switch Sports, and Splatoon 3.
Kirby.
Andy says Kirby. What do you mean, Charles?
Lego Star Wars the Skywalker Charles! Saga.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
What?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Splatoon again.
That's fair.
Lego Star Wars. Isn't this where we fought where I don't they're not allowed to make childhood memories from this game?
Yeah, exactly.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Andy, if they can't make childhood memories, how can you expect it to become best family game?
Well, if they play it locally, that's fine. But it's Kirby. Kirby.
This is an interesting category. I want to bring this up just for the conversation.
They stretched it, man.
Yeah. Best fighting game. I know why, too, because it's not fucking game of the year. Best fighting, which is... Wait, does it say fighting game in the view categories? No. It's just best fighting.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you, Keely? For the best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat. Shouldn't be there. Your nominees are DNF Duel, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, the King of Fighters 15, Multiverses, and for some reason Sifu.
Listeners, this is what we talked about. They really stretch these to fit games as best they can, but Sifu, you know, fighting games, listeners. You know, one person plays a fighter, the other person plays another fighter, and they fight, and their health bar goes down. Sifu, you play one person, and you run around the world and map fighting people.
Sifu is an action-adventure game based around martial arts.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is not a fighter.
Why not just have four nominees, then, instead of five?
Because Keely wants it to be even.
Oh, that's true. Fair. Well,
and I have a feeling this might be the only place we see Sifu, which is incredibly sad.
Put me down for Multiverses.
Andy for Multiverses. What about you, Charles?
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure All-Star Battle R.
You think?
Did you play it?
No.
I did. It's fun and it's weird, but it's, I don't know. I never quite got the hang of it. I'm going to say Sifu just as kind of like the everyone goes, well, it should get one award. Best role playing game. No. We're done here. For the best game design with rich player character customization progression, including massively multiplayer experiences, your nominees are Elden Ring, Live, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Triangle Strategy, Xenoblade Chronicles 3. It's Elden Ring, baby.
It's Elden Ring.
Yeah, it's not even. Yeah, no. See, again, this is kind of bullshit, and I think we, the gaming community, is going to have to really have a sit down talk about best role playing.
What is like, an RPG? Yeah. Why didn't they say game? It's just best role playing. Every game is role playing.
And that's the rough part, right? Like, I was like, guys, we have to dissolve role playing game. It's just consumed by everyone else now.
Well, I don't know. I think it's extended. Even that's tough because it's extended narrative game, but that doesn't work either. Yeah. Well, another discussion for another day. Best it's action adventure game. Your nominees are Plague Tale Requiem, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, getting snubbed again, Stray, and Tunic.
God of War.
My heart, again, wants it to be Tunic. It's probably going to be God of War.
Yeah, I agree, God of War.
There's no way it can't be.
I'm giving it to Tunic, just as the outside.
Aw, bless you.
Sometimes you got to vote with your heart. You two are saying God of War.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I haven't even played it, but I know it's good.
There you go. How bad for Horizon, right? Every time they release a fucking game, it's like, but here's a better version of your game.
Yeah.
So sad. Next, we have best VR AR game.
Oh.
And your nominees are After the Fall, Among Us VR, Bone Lab, Moss, Book 2, and Red Matter. I've played none of them. Have any of you played any of them?
I only watched some people play Among Us VR, and I think it's going to be Among Us VR.
I think it's going to be Among Us VR too, just for namesake, but let's not vote on this one because it's stupid for us to vote on this one.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Innovation and accessibility.
Oh.
This is for recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. Elden Ring is in here, am I right? Your nominees are As Dusk Falls, God of War Ragnarok, Return to Monkey Island, Last of Us Part 1, and The Quarry. It should be Last of Us.
I agree. Last of Us.
I don't know, so I'm just going to follow you guys' opinion.
Yeah, I know, listeners, for some background, The Last of Us Part 2
went crazy.
Was incredibly groundbreaking for accessibility for a lot of disabled people, so that they can like play the game very well. And then when they redid Last of Us Part 1, they took all that they did for Last of Us Part 2 and just put it into Part 1. And I don't think any other game has come close to giving the same level, like the breadth of options that part one and two have.
Like God of War has a lot. God of War has a lot, but not Last of Us level.
Yeah.
What was it that impressed you guys or you thought was exciting?
You have to like look at it, Andy, but there's like you can go crazy with the options where it's like you can change the entire color scheme of the fucking game just to make it easier to play if you have, you know, like if you're sight challenged or hearing challenged, like you can go crazy with the settings to make it almost like a completely different game.
Yeah. And like there was stories, I think, if I recall correctly, where a blind player could play the entire game by themselves for Last of Us.
Wow, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow.
Best community support, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates and patches. We have your nominees of Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, I had to think about it for a second, Fortnite, and No Man's Sky. We've talked about it so many times that I'm going to have to stick. Here's the thing. Fortnite's going to win. I'm going to say No Man's Sky.
Go ahead, Andy.
I don't know. Maybe Fortnite. Was Fortnite exceptional this year?
They did a lot of cool stuff. They added no build mode this year, which is something people asked a lot.
It's going to be Fortnite then.
What about you, Charles?
This probably isn't a surprise.
You're going to say 14?
Just 14. look, here, there's a very important line to this category. Transparency and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates patches. They have producer live letters where Yoshi P and the group talk about everything going on in the next content update for 8 hours. Charles, it is an 8 hour long podcast. Yoshi P once spent 30 minutes diverting from the presentation because he saw somebody in the chat ask why there was a fee for teleporting to the moon. And he spent 30 minutes talking about it and going, listen, we got to do all this other stuff. And he talked for 30 minutes. It was incredible. You know, community my support. Heart is with
14, best best mobile game.
Oh, I don't know.
For best game playable on a mobile device, you have Apex Legends Mobile, Diablo Immortal, Genshin Impact, Marvel Snap, Tower Fantasy. Genshin Impact, says James.
I'm going to say Marvel Snap.
You're going for the recency bias. I like it, Andy. Mm-hmm. By you, Charles.
I'm torn between Genshin Impact and Marvel Snap. just because Genshin Impact is pretty accessible across multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure people will see it as purely a mobile game, even though I do. And Marvel Snap is recent, and I think it can be played on PC as well.
Yeah, it can.
But it's very clearly like a mobile interface. Genshin Impact, because I respect the amount of money put into it.
All right. Next category is... I think we can just go forward at this point.
We're going the other way. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. There we go. Best indie for outstanding creative and technical achievement in a game made outside of the traditional publisher system.
In another life, this could be game of the year. These could be game of the year.
Yeah, I mean, really. Your nominees are Cult of the Lamb, Neon, which I don't think we ever talked about, but is a really fun fucking game.
I've been wanting to play that.
It's real fun. Neon White, Sifu, Stray, and Tunic. Tunic. I'm going to go Sifu on this one.
Sifu.
As much as I love Tunic, I'm going Sifu on this one.
I feel like Tunic did something new.
It did. Sifu so also did something amazing.
Yeah, but... Well, I haven't played Sifu, so I can't judge.
Charles, where are you going?
I'm going Sifu.
Okay.
Like, you know, there was best fighting game. I think everyone would have gave this part as their gimme. Like, yeah, Sifu should win something here.
Yeah. Best ongoing game. Why is this different? awarded to a game for outstanding development for ongoing content that involves the player experience over time. Your options are Apex Legends, Destiny 2, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Genshin Impact. This one, I will say Fortnite.
Probably Fortnite.
I think Final Fantasy 14 won this last year.
It did. Yeah.
And I think it's also around the time Endwalker was releasing.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think it might actually be Genshin this time because their new patch is coming out soon. And
yeah.
They've been having a strong push for that.
All right. Next, we have Games for Impact for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message.
Oh, here they have four nominees.
No, they have six.
Oh, whoops.
Your options are A Memoir Blue, As Dusk Falls, Citizen Sleeper, which is a game I've heard a lot about but haven't played, Endling, Extinction is Forever, Hindsight, and I Was a Teenage Exocolonist. Of all of these games, the only one I know anything about is As Dusk Falls.
Yeah, I feel like I saw a trailer for As Dusk Falls, and that's the only thing I know. And I bet that's all the people that are voting now. So throw me down for As Dusk Falls.
For you, Bill Charles.
Well, I owe it to the developers because I told them I wasn't there for them. I was there for Shuhei Yoshida. I was a teenage exocolonist because I told them I would look it up. And
all right,
Shuhei looked like he liked it.
Is this Game for Impact? Game for Impact.
Wow, really if handy. There's six, then they just couldn't make up their mind.
Yeah. Maybe these are all the nominees. They're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
These...
Just get them all in there. All right. Next, we have seven more to go. Rounding out. Best performance.
Ooh.
Awarded for an individual for voiceover, acting, motion, and or performance capture. You have Horizon Forbidden West, Ashley Birch as Aloy. The Plague Tale Requiem, Charlotte McBurney as the character, I don't remember her name. God of War Ragnarok, Christopher Judge as Kratos. Immortality, Menon Gage as the main character of Immortality. And God of War Ronek, Sunny Soljic, who I think is Atreus. Right? Yeah, that's Atreus, yeah. This is tough. It should go to the Immortality Lady. because that is literally an acted game. Like they shot a movie and she did a fantastic job in the every moment of it. But
sign me up for that one.
Really, Andy?
Well, I haven't played any of these, but like if we're talking about really, really performance, then Immortality seems like it takes that.
If here's the thing, if there's a category for Immortality to win, this is the one, right?
Yeah. I don't know if enough people played it.
Yeah, it was on Game Pass. Yeah. That's why I played it.
But it was a very different type of game.
I would hesitate to even call it a game.
Right. Like, I don't know if enough people played it enough to really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think it might be between Plague Tale Requiem and God of War, and I think God of War is the more popular of the two.
Yeah.
And even then, there's two people in the fucking God of War. I'd say Christopher Judge.
Okay. I mean, I do owe him Christopher Judge as Teal'c in Stargate SG-1. Always, I always want to support him for that. But in this one instance, I have to give it to someone else. Yeah. Best audio design.
That gold circle on his fucking
exactly. Best audio design, recognizing best in-game audio and sound design. Your options are Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 2, Elden Ring, God of War: Ragnarok, Gran Turismo 7, Horizon Forbidden West. Here's one I don't think Elden Ring will win.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
Modern Warfare has good sound. I don't know if that's like.
I'll take a leap. Yeah. That's where I'll take my leap. I saw those documentaries on the making of Gran Turismo games.
Yeah.
And it sticks with me to this day, knowing that they're so fucking like detailed and how much they want to get the right sounds for all the cars and everything. Mm-hmm. I can only believe that carried over to Gran Turismo 7. And not that any of these other ones were bad. I played most of them, but I can't imagine that fucking obsessive detail not applied to all the world's cars.
Andy, are you going Gran Turismo as well?
Yeah.
I'm going to go Forbidden West.
Identical reason. Oh, go for it.
Maybe this will be the throwaway one that you give Forbidden West.
Old motherfuckers.
Yeah. Best score and music. For outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. Your options are A Plague Tale Requiem. I don't know how that game sounds. Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Metal Hellsinger, and Xenoblade Chronicles.
Well, there's only one game where music is entirely the point.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it should be Metal Hellsinger.
Well, I'm a
if you don't know what Metal Hellsinger is, it's a rhythm game FPS shooter. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a little bit, where the better you do, they add metal vocals. Like, they add the level of the metal song that's playing as you get your combo level higher. It's really cool, and the songs are really good because they got a lot of well-known metal bands to do the songs. How was the music in Xenoblades, Andy?
I love Yasunori Mitsuda. I actually was thinking, I wonder if he is my favorite composer even over Uematsu, but I don't think Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is his strongest. It's good, but it's not iconic. But I will still vote for that one because I have.
Okay. So Charles and I are going metal. Andy is going Xenoblade.
I can't abandon him.
I understand.
I want him to work forever.
Best art direction. Your nominees are Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, Scorn, and Stray. Between Scorn and Elden Ring for me, with Stray as an outside.
Similar. I think Scorn and Stray, and then Elden Ring is the outside.
Interesting.
I don't know what Scorn is.
That was that super creepy FPS game that was like all visceral, like meat. Andy, do you remember that?
Yeah, and it's like all inspired by the art of
Throw Me Down Geiger. For that.
Yeah.
You're going for a Scorn, Charles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
It's creepy. Think Hellraiser style character designs.
Is this
stuff.
The one that needed to be censored? Like it was going to be yes. adult only or something?
Sort of, yeah. So you two are going Scorn. I'm going to go Stray. Not because, again, this is just the gambler in me going for the outside choices.
Go in.
Best narrative, we have A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, no, God of War: Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Immortality. So this is a run. I feel so bad for Forbidden West. Fucking Horizon every time. It's a good story, but it's just good. That's mm-hmm. the problem with it. Plague Tale has a great story. That's what everyone says about Plague Tale. That's the entire yeah. fucking reason to play yeah, Plague Tale.
That's what I
hear. God of War and Immortality. Immortality should win. But I think Plague Tale will get this one.
I was thinking Plague Tale. Because that's the only thing I know about it.
Yeah, I guys, you know, let me take this mic for a second.
Go for just, it. Go for it for a second.
Here's my problem, right? Oh. Narrative is an awful category. they should not have done this. They should have split it up into two things. One for world building and then another for like story, like the actual main story of the game, right? Being interesting. Because I have to say that the world of Elden Ring is incredible. It is so interesting. And all the stuff that you find and see and like kind of like piece together is so cool. Like my entire thing that I get caught up on is the Song of the Harpies that you hear and just like listen to it, and you're going, where the fuck is this? And then you kind of like, you're just like, oh, it's from a monster. How crazy. Why is this so beautiful? And I'm killing it really easily. Maybe I'll just let it respawn to finish its song. And like finding some of the beautiful areas in the game, and you're just like wondering what happened. Like that, the world is so cool. It is so great. And I'm going to have to give it to Elden Ring for that. But narrative is such a shitty fucking category to just be like, yeah, because it's not separated. And I'm sure, like, when everyone says narrative, they naturally and probably rightly should just be like the story of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I agree 100% with you, Charles. Elden Ring has an incredibly deep world that is there if you want to look for it, but is in no way a narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's what the thing that's affected me most. I'm going to vote for it knowing it's not going to win. I just needed to know I believed in it.
Hey, you never know. You never know. Sekiro won Game of the Year.
That's right.
Yeah. I always say that's the, you can never guess what's going on. This is also a weird one. This is our second to last category, Best Game Direction. This is always the one where it's like, fucking, why is Best Director and Best Picture a different category at the Oscars? Obviously, if the Best Director directed the best movie. But anyway, Best Game Direction, award for outstanding creative vision, innovation, game direction, and design. Your nominees are Elden Ring, God of War, Forbidden West, Immortality, and Stray. Again, it probably should be Immortality. I think it's going to go to God of War because that had a lot of traditional direction that had to go with it. Because I feel like this is kind of a companion to narrative a little bit. You know what I mean?
I would say Elden Ring in this, in terms of like directing and building that world.
Where you fall, Charles?
I'll go with Elden Ring.
All right, I'm gonna go God of War. I think this is the one they give to God of War, right?
Oh, okay. I get that.
Oh, he was so quiet for so long. and now as we get to Game of the Year, your nominees are A Plague Tale: Requiem, Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, that poor child, Stray, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3. It's gonna be Elden Ring.
Oh, there's no way it couldn't.
I know, literally, Jack. Agreed. That's, no, that's four votes for Elden Ring.
There we go. Four votes.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
He is a part of the podcast.
He is. He was so good for so long, and now he's whining again. Can you
imagine Elden Ring not winning? That would be wild.
I can. Here's the thing. If it loses to God of War or Plague Tale, I won't be upset. I understand the logic. I disagree with it, but I understand it.
I like Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I don't think that's a Game of the Year kind of game, though.
Yeah.
I didn't see Bayonetta on any of this.
Oh, unfortunately, Andy, that was in one of the categories we skipped.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. That's
fine. Which one was it?
That's it. I forget. That's it. I saw it, though.
Destructoid gave it a perfect score.
Was it? I think it's action game, actually.
Did we? Oh, skip we did action game. Did? No, it's not there. Oh, we did skip action game. Never mind.
Interesting.
Let's do action game real quick. Best action game, best game in the action genre, focused primarily in combat. Your options are Bayonetta 3, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Neon White, Sifu, and TMNT.
Wait. Sifu gets to be in fighting and action?
Yeah, I agree, Andy. That's weird. That's super weird. And also, Elden Ring's not in this category.
Oh my god. Come on, you guys.
It's like, oh, Game Awards. You're lucky you get to hide behind your industry judges panel that puts them into these categories.
Sign me
fucking weirdos.
All right, Andy's going Bayonetta. What about you, Charles?
So technically, of these games, I only played two of them. I did hear that Bayonetta is a really good game, but I got to go with Sifu.
Yeah. There's a DLC for Sifu coming out soon. I can't fucking wait. All right. Did we skip any other ones? Best action. Did we do best action adventure?
That one I think we did.
That's what happened. So there's best action and best action. God damn it, Jeff. All right. So we have our list. When is the Game Awards again?
Sometime early December.
Yeah, it's December 8th, I think.
Oh.
That's 23 days or 28 days, it says.
Yeah, December 8th. So what day of the week is that? I think it's a Monday, actually.
That's a Thursday.
Oh, it's a Thursday. Okay, so the week after we'll come back and we'll...
Yeah.
Well, we've been going at this for already...
A full hour.
Full hour. Yeah. Well, 58 minutes. I have a couple news stories just to run down. Hey, look into the issues that are going on in ID Software between their composer, Mick Gordon and Marty Stratton, and how everyone's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, Mick Gordon sounds like he's coming out clean. Marty Stratton kind of threw him under the bus about the OST. Look into it. It's an interesting story. It's a long read. We don't need to talk about it, but just that Marty Stratton threw composer Mick Gordon under the bus. And Mick Gordon this week posted a very long reply to basically be like, fuck you. I'm tired of this.
And they offered him $100,000 to not speak. Well, six figures, he said. So he threw down six figures to post that Medium post. So there's some real beef there.
Yep. Also, God of War and Sonic reviews. Sonic, the most 7 out of 10 game ever to exist.
7 out of 10 is pretty good still.
Was it the people who love it hate it, but also love it, and the people who hate it just hate it? Yeah. I'll play it one day. Also, it has terrible. It goes on terrible. Yeah, it's already on sale, actually.
I need more on sale.
Yeah, this is definitely a Black Friday game.
Yeah, it has terrible tech issues and pop-in when the game where you're going 10,000 miles an hour is not ideal. Also, Ragnarok's real good. Nines and maybe some tens across the board. Play it. I'm not done with it yet. Charles isn't either, I think.
Nope.
Yep. And then finally, PSVR 2 actually went up for pre-order today, but they released the price last week at a smooth $550.
Yeah.
Oof. And it's not backwards compatible either.
You know, just a very quick rant. I am so sick of, so this happened with the PS5 for me and some other stuff too, where you sign up on where they, like, you go to their website and they're like, sign up for notifications. You'll be the first to know, you know, like the latest news and when pre-orders go live and all that stuff. I did that for PSVR 2. I never got the email that it went live. I didn't get an email about anything, and I signed up months ago. I don't even know why they do that. They never tell you anything. Not even that I want the PSVR 2, but I just kind of want to, like, be on the list. Because maybe I'll want it. I don't know.
$550
for not supporting my old games and, like, nothing really that remarkable?
Andy, I think at that price point, you will not have trouble finding them.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I'm still saving up money for it, but I don't think I'm going to want it. I'm waiting for, like a press release where, like, we took the top 20 games from PSVR and ported them up to PSVR 2 and Space Channel 5. If they port Space Channel 5, they've got $550 from me.
And they just say for Andy in the credits.
Yeah, just do that. But nope, they've got that money. No questions asked if you port that over.
Well, we'll see what developers want Andy's money on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I've been your host, James, the occasional puppy whisperer, Hartwell. Ooh. And I've been joined by
Charles, Elden Ring Stan Yamant, and I've been joined by
Andy. I don't want a puppy. That's it. I don't want a puppy.
We really didn't dig into that. I really wanted to, but we did not have time about you getting offered a puppy. But maybe we'll talk about that as friends later. Have a good night, everyone.
Yep. Have a good night.
Good night, nerds.